Bow with me for a moment as we go to our Father in prayer. Our dear, precious Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we thank you for this time you set aside for us every week to come together to learn of you and worship you. We ask this moment that you come into here, into this place, touch our hearts that we may hear a message from your word with full understanding. For it's in Yahshua's name I pray. Hallelujah. Be seated. Seems as though there's a great deal of illness today, so we're faced with a skeleton crew. We pray that Yahweh's touching, healing hand touch them. So I'm talking today about strange fire. We'll just jump right into it. In order to understand strange fire, I guess we ought to start out with seeing what a set-apart fire is all about, a kadosh fire. Aish kadosh? Yeah. Let's look at Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Leviticus 9, 23 and 24. And Moshe and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the Shekinah of Yahweh, the Shekinah of Yahweh appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before Yahweh and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Presents quite a picture. You see, during the inauguration of the tabernacle of Yahweh, the sacrifices were placed on the altar of burnt offering, and they were accepted by Yahweh and consumed by a fire that came from the Shekinah of Yahweh himself. This was no ordinary fire. It was sacred fire. Kadosh. It was set apart fire from Yahweh himself. Hebrews 12:29 says, "For our Elohim is a consuming fire." This same fire was then used to burn the incense that was taken into the tabernacle to the altar of incense. It's interesting that we start out talking about fire and Yahweh. And you know, in the world, in churchianity, it seems like fire is to be avoided. They talk about a burning hell that you don't want to go to because you'll be tortured there forever. And there's, you know, just all kinds of reasons that we should avoid these fires. But if you look at scriptures, I just said in Hebrews 12:29, it says, "For our Elohim is a consuming fire." We can also look at examples of the burning bush. You know, Moshe found a bush that was on fire. And who was in the bush? Or the top of Mount Horeb was on fire. Who was on top of the mountain? Then going through the wilderness, there was the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke. Who was guiding his people? Well, when things got rough, there was Sodom and Gomorrah. They were taken care of with eternal fire. That was fire from the Eternal One. Just consider, maybe, you know, fire is something that we shouldn't be steered away from. Maybe it's something that we should be attracted to, as long as we're following Yahweh's law. Let's look at Leviticus 16, verses 12 and 13. It says, "And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before Yahweh, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before Yahweh, and the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he not die." Something to note here is that the smoke of the incense burning with the sacred fire from Yahweh preserved the life of the priest while he was in the tabernacle. This was no small thing. This wasn't something to be trivialized. So that is set apart fire. Let's look now at some strange fire. Aish Zara, strange fire. Let's go on to Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. Where it reads, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censers, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from Yahweh and devoured them, and they died before Yahweh." Nadab and Abihu disregarded the solemn and exacting instructions that they had been given and filled their senses with a fire that did not originate from the set-apart fire of the altar of the burnt offering. They entered the tabernacle with a profane fire that afforded them no protection, and they instantly perished. This was such a serious circumstance that they were not even to be mourned. Look at Leviticus 10, 3 through 7. It says, "Then Moshe said to Aaron, This is it that Yahweh spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moshe called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moshe had said. And Moshe said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which Yahweh hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of Yahweh is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moshe." It's pretty harsh. But then Scripture, I think, reveals the reason for Nadab and Abihu's transgression in Leviticus 10, 8 through 11. It says, "And Yahweh spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy, kadosh, and unholy, kol, and between the unclean, tameh, and the clean, tahor. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yahweh hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moshe." Apparently, Aaron's sons had been drinking strong wine, or been drinking wine or strong drink. In so doing, their reasoning was impaired, and they could see no reason to bother with getting coals from the sacred fire of the altar of burnt offering. They did not discern the difference between things that were set apart and those that were not, between the clean and the unclean. Common fire probably looked no different to them. And it surely burned the incense in their censers as well. Who cares? They probably thought in their impaired state, it will not matter to Elohim which fire we use. He can't be that particular, can he? Well, he knows our heart anyway. He knows that we mean to lift him up. So they offered common fire to Yahweh instead of what was set apart, what represented a divine connection. They chose to go their own way. Their lives were forfeit for disobedience. We're given good instructions on about how we are to live and treat each other and interact with our Elohim. We're told that failure to act accordingly will result in consequences for our actions. Somehow, we seem to fail to see the wisdom. As we look forward to the second coming, the end of the world as we know it, Scripture tells us that most of churchianity is spiritually in an impaired state. That is, they're drinking the wine of a man-made religious system that is in no way related to the instructions of Yahweh through Moshe. They're unable to see the difference between the set-apart things and those that are not, the sacred and the common, as a result of the damaged condition that we are in. The result of living a sinful life, we find ourselves offering strange fire before Yahweh, much like Nadab and Abihu. We really don't know any better. We've lost sight of who Yahweh is and how we are supposed to live our lives in order to be acceptable neighbors and friends. We just don't know our Elohim anymore. Consider Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Revelation 17, verses 1 through 7. And there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The apostate church is described symbolically as a drunken whore with a golden cup in her hand, full of her corrupted doctrines, which she made the nations of the earth to drink. What was the result of the drunken state of Aaron's sons? They saw no difference between a Kadosh Elohim and the common or profane. As a result, they offered Yahweh strange fire instead of the fire that was set apart. Shift gears here a little bit. Turn with me to Genesis Chapter 2. Just as one of the many examples of how we've lost our way, let's visit the creation account in Genesis. The universe was created, it was completed, it was done in 6 days. But the week was extended one more day by Yahweh. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day Elohim ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Elohim created and made. There was a special blessing on the seventh day. And it's also mentioned in the fourth commandment. If we look at Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, I'm pretty sure we all know that one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. The first 6 days of the week, we're told, are common. They're to be used for labor, earning a living, normal everyday purposes. In this way, the first 6 days are all the same. One is no different than the other. However, the seventh day, Sabbath, Shabbat, is unique. It's designated by Yahweh to be a sacred, set-apart day, a day of rest, a day not for common labor, as on the other 6 days. Why? The commandment tells us because our Creator rested from His labor on the seventh day of the week. As our Creator, He sets the example for us. And obedience to that commandment regarding the Sabbath day has a kadosh significance, a set-apart significance. I've talked to people about specifically about this commandment. And, well, there are groups of people that will, because they choose to adhere to the letter of the law, and they don't want to do any work on the seventh day, they will hire people to do work for them. Just last week, someone referred to that type of person as a Shabbat goy. It's like a Sabbath slave for someone that wants to buy their services. They read the front part of the commandment. They didn't read it all. Because you see, that seventh day is special, not just to those people that accept it, but it's special even to the people that work for them. Even to the animals. It says, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. That doesn't mean it's okay to go out and hire someone to do your work for you so you look like you're pious. You look like you're holding up the Sabbath thing. Happens too often. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31, 12 through 17. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am Yahweh that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to Yahweh. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Keep the Sabbath or die. That's what most people read in this verse. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you're going to be put to death. Hmm. If you eat that fruit, you will die. Remember hearing something like that? If you eat the fruit from the tree which is in the midst of the garden, you shall surely die. Well, I think there's been a lot of work done with the meaning of that, and it means that you shall begin the process of dying. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you will begin the process of dying because you're walking away from your Creator. But there's a promise in here. In this verse, it says, wherefore the children of Israel, it doesn't say if, then, but, it says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. If you're a child of Israel, if you are part of B'nai Israel, you will keep the Sabbath. You will keep it the way Scripture says. And you will observe that Sabbath throughout your generations. Why? Because that's a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between the children of Israel and Yahweh of the covenant made between them forever. It says forever. Right there. I know you can't see that, but it says forever throughout all generations. But there's more about Shabbat. Let's turn to Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. This is an if-then statement. Isaiah 58, 13, 14 says, if because of Yom Shabbat, because the Sabbath day, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my set-apart day and call the Sabbath a delight, and set apart the day of Yahweh honorable and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own words, then you will take delight in Yahweh. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Yaakov your father. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. What a promise. What we have to do is observe his Sabbath. There's even more about the Sabbath in Ezekiel 20. In verse 12 in Ezekiel 20, it says, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, repeating what it said. Why? That they might know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies them. Then you go down to verses 19 and 20. And it says, I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. Wonderful. I might want to point out that if you have a little extra time, read the verses in between 12 and 19. Not so good. The Sabbath that we observe on Saturday in the common calendar is no ordinary day. It's set apart and sacred to Yahweh. And keeping his commands is the special sign, the seal, if you will, that we are his people and he is our Elohim. There's a parallel between the set apart fire of the tabernacle and the set apart seventh day of Yahweh. Set apart fire was designated for use before Yahweh in the tabernacle. Common fire was not to be used for set apart purposes. It is very important to note that the Ten Commandments were kept in the Ark of the Covenant, not in the outer chamber. See, the outer chamber was the Kadosh place, the holy place. That's where Nadab and Abihu perished. But the Ten Commandments were in the inner room, in the most holy place, the most Kadosh place. And they served as a standard for judgment. So if you compare the two, abusing the fire that Nadab and Abihu abused and keeping the Sabbath is even more precious. And Yahweh is not mocked. The common and profane is not acceptable. It's not an acceptable substitute for the sacred. Ezekiel 22:8 says, "You have despised my kadosh things and profaned my Sabbaths." And Ezekiel 22:26 says, "Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my kadosh things. And they have made no distinction between the kadosh and the profane. And they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." That's pretty harsh. A kadosh Elohim says that the seventh day Sabbath is his kadosh day. And he commands us to remember it by setting it apart. The apostate church, in a spiritual drunken stupor, says, "No, we'll keep the first day of the week to honor our Elohim, our way. We will practice Christmas and Easter and other annual festivals to honor our Elohim in our way. We make the seventh day a common day for ourselves, for all manner of common work to be done. We will do as we please on the commanded feast days of Yahweh. We will do our own pleasure on those days that Yahweh has set apart for us." Set apart for us. He set them apart for us to signify a covenant with him. Yet churchianity throws that all in the ditch. In effect, they think they can enter the most holy place of Yahweh, alter his Torah, and replace the institutions and the instructions with whatever pleases them. Is Yahweh honored by the common and the profane? When he asks for the set apart, and we give him the common, the profane, he surely is not honored. We've heard all the arguments and the excuses. Oh, it's okay as long as we keep one day of the week for him. Doesn't matter what day. I know Christmas wasn't the day of his birth, but at least we're honoring him somehow. He knows our heart, that we love him and keep him in our thoughts. Yeah, he knows our heart. Let's look at Jeremiah 17:9. says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He knows our heart. Yahshua said in Matthew 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's pretty simple. That's pretty straightforward. We're given the Torah. We're given Yahshua. We have the written Torah and the living Torah so that we can know just what the instructions are and how to carry them out. And we prefer our own way. The man who chooses to do things according to his own understanding is committing the same transgression of Nadab and Abihu. He is offering strange fire before Yahweh. Hallelujah.